You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Nice rack, Dan.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL. My name is Dan Hansis, and I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. How are we?
Pretty rare that a money drop takes you aback. And after 10 years, it takes a lot. I haven't seen that expression on Dan's face where he
What's
just
the origin
stunned.
Story of that?
Did money say nice rack?
Yeah.
There's often inside jokes that I don't remember that came up, and I guess it's from...
I feel like if that was directed at someone else, that would be the end of the podcast. But we're okay. I don't know what it means. I feel maybe an insult. You know, got to get into, you know, training camp's going to start for everybody, you know. Going to have to hit that Peloton. You're going to have to really start to zone in for week one. Maybe work on the rack.
Mark's zoned in right now.
Dan, I didn't take it as a bad comment about you. I think, I'm not sure what it was referring to. It was murky and confusing.
Well, let's just let it pass then. And we'll dig in and maybe fire Graver after the show. I don't have the power to remove Graver from the commissioner chair. Excuse me, the producer chair.
I would get a 3/4 vote, though. We could do that.
It's another
don't
edition.
Give Mark any ideas. Mark's like, finally, we outnumber them now.
Welcome to the Thursday edition. I am still in Texas. The boys are still in California. Greg is heading to Mother Japan in days now. And what a moment it's going to be when we do our first. I mean, how many miles will separate? Well, how far is California, Southern California, from Japan? I mean, we're talking an ocean.
Right. Not pretty much equal to Tokyo to London, which we do as a trip. It's about 5,500 miles, according
Sounds
to
annoying.
Google.
Like, one of my bigger problems with traveling is just, like, getting on a plane and sitting on a plane for 9 hours.
That's fair, but I am taking this, actually both flights, by myself. So, could be worse.
How did you pull that off?
We are traveling separately. They're going a day and a half in front of me. There were visa complications that delayed me having to get a ticket, but I'm going.
Oh, just wait until the flight delays. I got stranded in Mexico a couple months ago. I ended up a day late to Texas. It's really fun what's going on in the airline industry. Hey, the day yesterday for me was fun. I went to Putters and Gutters, great place in Marble Falls, Texas. I shout that out. Went to a great cheeseburger place. What was the name of it? If you're in Central Texas, I have the place for you to go in Lampasas. Wish I remembered it. I'll get back to you on that. Mark, what's going on for you in your neck of the woods?
Well, one question. Are you getting recognized at the golf course, in eateries, on the street? Are people kind of flagging you down just to say thank you for the content, for the work that you've done?
I don't think that's going to really happen in this part of the country. Now, that's not to say there's not NFL fans around here or fans of our podcast, but this very much is college football heaven. I'm wearing a Baylor hat right now because my father-in-law is a big-time Sikkim Bears guy, and we're going to talk about a little more Texas football a little later in the news that has Justin Graver, the Texas native and a UT graduate, all pumped up. But yeah, this feels like if we did like a Around the CFB podcast, I feel like there would be a pretty good chance. Around the NFL, a little more hit and miss, just to give you the answer there, full answer.
Fair.
And a little bookkeeping. On Monday's show, I challenged the shadowy league figures and said, if you listen to the show, hit me up on work email, and you don't even have to put anything in the body, just the subject. I'm listening.
Right.
A one-third floor executive did email me, I'm listening.
Wow.
One.
Male or female?
Is a male. I won't say who it was beyond that, but then also had a quick note that they really enjoyed the NFL Media Summit podcast last week and to keep up the good work. So it was a positive email, but I don't know, maybe Roger or others were tied up in other things, so they didn't get a chance to email me. But
I gotta say though, that hits the over. I mean, I set the over under at half. So I think if you went
did
for
you
it,
I missed that. I would have set it at no. 1.5 after that.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But it's, you know, we got one though. All right. So yes, we're gonna do it on today's show. We're gonna share some inner monologues. We're gonna bring that back. We did it last summer. It was fun. And guess what? It's June 23rd. This is it. This is ground zero for the quiet period of the NFL calendar. So we're just gonna have some fun and let you know what's going on. The things that certain NFL figures are thinking that are taking up hard drive in their mind right now that they would never share, certainly not with the media, yahoos like us, but also even maybe with their own loved ones.
With their own team? Yeah, with,
never
with, right,
with
no
their
one.
Own team.
The deepest internal monologues and thoughts that are often secret, that, you know, it's you don't want to be completely vulnerable and release it out there. But
exactly.
We're going to do that today.
I think everyone to a certain extent, some more than others, certainly there's a level of self-doubt and a level of reflection that goes on that you would keep to yourself. Well, we're opening, we're cracking that open. This is one source that we're exposing. It's these certain figures that are coming up today, and we're going to let you know how they feel. But before that, let's do some news.
One more, I got 69 touchdowns, if you know what I mean.
It's a little like the little cackle laugh at the end. Rob Gronkowski, who of course, sent out the Instagram message on Monday announcing he was not coming back and had once again gone into retirement. It should be noted that Adam Schefter was contacted by his agent, who texted Schefter and probably others. It would not surprise me if Tom Brady calls him, him being Gronk, during the season to come back and Rob answers the call. This is just my opinion, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rob comes back during the season or next season.
He's coming back. I mean, what is that? What is that? Rosenhaus, who's Gronk's agent, was clearly putting it out there like, hey, we're open for business, just not yet. And I thought it was interesting. Mike Florio, who often has stories and in quotes from Rosenhaus and stuff, noted that it might have just been a financial thing, that it's like if they weren't going to pay him what he wanted, he didn't want to play the whole season necessarily for Tampa. But maybe he'll play half the season.
Yeah, and if you want to parse that even further, the fact that Rosenhaus specifically cites, you know, if Tom calls, it's right. Not necessarily Gronk searching for another team to come out of the woodwork and pay him. It's just like, you know, the Bucks want to bring me back and they're in contention and they need him. I'll play, you know, but a couple things, right. I guess, have to fall
into actually
place.
Felt bad for a second after the show, just thinking about it. It's like, oh, we didn't really provide context of like what these last couple of years meant for Gronk's career and what a legend. It's like, but I'm glad we didn't, because he'll be coming back. We have to.
I thought we absolutely totally nailed it and spent about 2.5 minutes on it, because this is exactly what we said would occur.
and by the way, if he does indeed stick to this retirement, it still is nothing to feel bad about, Greg, because in 5 years, when he's a first eligibility Canton guy, if we're still doing the show by then, we absolutely will have all those conversations. It'll be great. There'll be great conversations.
Just wait half a decade.
The bigger problem is the Tom Brady situation.
There's no escape now. I feel like we're like blood brothers for life, Mark. This show will be going on for infinity.
Why are you pointing that comment to me?
Because it's a threat toward you, basically.
All right.
Roger Goodell testified Wednesday before members of Congress. We're going to talk about this because, unfortunately, a part of doing this job, which is covering everything connected with this professional football league around the NFL, is all the distasteful things surrounding the Washington Commanders. And it's building and building and building. And now we're going to talk about the latest chapter. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell testified Wednesday before members of Congress at a hearing by the House Committee of Oversight and Reform about ongoing scrutiny into the organization's workplace culture and accusations from women employees of pervasive sexual harassment by team executives connected to the Commanders. So Goodell testified Wednesday. A Congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib, from Michigan, after initially asking whether he would recommend Snyder's removal as owner of the Commanders, the Congresswoman followed up by asking Goodell, will you remove him? Here's what Roger had to say.
Will you remove him?
I don't have the authority to remove him, Congresswoman.
And an NFL owner can be removed, and here's the background and why Goodell answered that way. An NFL owner can be removed only by a three-quarters vote, 24 out of 32 majority vote of fellow owners, although Goodell does have the ability in his position as commissioner to officially recommend such a vote. Daniel Snyder, the center of all this, the owner of the Commanders, was invited to testify but declined, citing overseas business commitments and concerns about due process. Committee Chair Carolyn Maloney out of New York announced during the hearing that she plans to issue a subpoena to compel Snyder to testify. It ain't going away.
It was disappointing to watch this, to watch Roger Goodell try to answer for Dan Snyder, which is like, that's what the commissioner on paper makes his money for, is being up there and trying to protect Snyder. But at what point does that grow so tiresome that Roger Goodell does recommend to start this process? Because he could, if he really wanted to, he could recommend to start the process and at least force some sort of vote. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen, if only because if it was going to happen, you would have thought it would have already. And they kept pointing to that they've changed their organization. Ron Rivera came in. Jason Wright, their new president, came in. Dan Snyder is no longer the day-to-day operating owner. But there's a lot of quotes from Ron Rivera and other people that indicate Dan Snyder is still very involved in the day-to-day operations. And so that doesn't really match up. And some of the allegations are new. And I think that's probably their biggest problem, is that the new NFL investigation into him after the one that they never released the report for came from allegations that came from these congressional hearings a year ago. And there's allegations from the Washington Post that Dan Snyder essentially like sent goons to intimidate these witnesses and find things out. And that was in the last year. So that's not just old news. Washington Post also had a report with details about a previously known sexual assault that Dan Snyder was accused of that there was a payment of back in 2009. So it's all just disappointing, just as someone that's, I feel like we've been, ever since we've worked for the NFL, there's been extremely disappointing negative stories about this one particular franchise. And there's one commonality that's been there the whole time and still there.
Right. It's hard to find an owner that has more consistently gone against what you would want an NFL owner to do. I mean, there's some startling other cases out there as well, but Snyder going on decades, this has been the culture. And I mean, the idea that he would survive this after we find out along the way during this investigation that he was using private investigators, offering hush money to witnesses. doing shadow investigations to intimidate people inside his own building. To me, I don't know what the other owners, the other 31 owners, where they are mentally, if they want to protect him and keep him around. Because if you're Daniel Snyder, the one thing you don't want to do is testify at all. I mean, I totally get from his angle why he is staying away as long as possible, because nothing good can come from that. And I thought that Goodell, you know, his role is to protect the owners to some degree, but he spent 2 hours having to be very slick and very slippery around certain answers. I mean, they offered a bunch of strange questions too. It wasn't all just on this investigation, because they have 2 hours to do what they want with it. But if you're Goodell, this is the last thing you want to be happening in the middle of June, when this football season is about to start, and this thing can explode. I think this doesn't end with Daniel Snyder out of the mix. I don't think there's a lot of hope for any of these owners to be corrected in the way they behave.
In a statement, a spokesperson for Snyder characterized the report and the hearing itself as a politically charged show trial, and said Congress should not be investigating an issue a football team addressed years ago. That is the whole angle. And even the one that comes from the league now, with after the investigation that the team held of the Commanders football team, and it led to the $10 million fine and Snyder being forced to step back, that they say things have changed since then. But there are obviously a lot of people out here, including in the government here, that want more. That's not good enough. Just this idea, oh, it's fixed now. They want accountability for what's happened in the past. And when asked about the alleged, quote, shadow investigation that Snyder and the Commanders were involved with, Goodell said any action that would discourage people from coming forward would be inappropriate. So that's where we're at there.
Good luck with that new stadium, by the way, like getting public funds for the new stadium. I think that is, it's all connected there, that this is their, this is the local team that Congress is a little more interested in maybe than other teams. There's public money. There's the antitrust exemption that the NFL gets and has benefited from. So I don't think it doesn't seem like it's ending.
That's why when the Jack Del Rio comments came out, one of the first piggybacked responses by lawmakers was, well, that might have been the tipping point that takes us out of any interest for this new stadium.
In football news, let's get into it. Time for news and notes presented by Upwork, where you can build the team that will build your business. Learn more at Upwork.com. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports Jalen Ramsey underwent shoulder surgery on Tuesday. That's interesting. June 21st. Shoulder surgery. Football player. Okay, that's important to note. But he should be ready before the start of the season. Rappaport added that Ramsey played with tears in both of his shoulders during the 2021 season. He was on Instagram the day the report from Rappaport landed, and he was in a shoulder sling. So he's been with the Rams for 2.5 years since that blockbuster trade from the Jaguars. And he's coming off, obviously, a Super Bowl championship. So that's a major, major piece of the puzzle in L.A., and they just have to hope the rehab goes off without a hitch.
I am afraid of, like, saying the same things that we say at this time of year every year, but sometimes you just got to do it, which is that, like, no one wants to have surgery in June. They were hoping to avoid it, that this is bad news, because if they knew that he had to get it, he would have had it much earlier, and that there's no real accountability in terms of timelines with injury reporting in June. And just we've learned over the years that many times when they say they're going to be ready for the season, that's true. And many times when they say they're going to be ready for the season, it's not true. And there's really no way to know at this time of year, but it is something that is disappointing. There's no way the Rams and Jalen Ramsey, especially considering how thin they are at cornerback, would have wanted to wait this long.
Yeah, the timing is super ill. The only thing I'd say that's positive, if he can get healthy enough, is that you're under the same system with Raheem Morris. He's their sort of five position star guy that does everything for them. He knows what he's doing. It's not like missing time in meetings or you know, that part of it is certainly manageable. But yeah, it's sort of a mess.
In signings news, the Steelers have signed defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi to a one-year deal. He finds a home. He had a three-year, $40 million deal, $40.5 million to be exact, with the Bears that fizzled out after he failed a physical. But Now he lands on his feet. Not the deal he was looking for in free agency, but he could reestablish his value playing with a Pittsburgh defense that has obviously some big-time players on it. Your thoughts on the move, Mark?
Well, I think it's a classic Steelers late summer signing, and they found a good guy here. It could be more than depth, because after Stephon Tuitt retired, he could play that role. He brings pressure from the inside. I mean, at this point, if at some point he lands with the Ravens, he will have been with all four AFC North teams. But he did good things with the Browns. He had a career-high seven sacks last year with the Bengals. Speaking to that internal pressure, he's sort of been hot and cold against the run. He wasn't good against the run last year. But when you add him to Cam Hayward, you know, you got Miles Jack in Pittsburgh as well. TJ Watt. I like this signing for the Steelers. I think it's when he goes there, I think it's going to work out. If he went somewhere else, not so sure.
Right. You said it perfectly with a classic Steelers signing. They find these cheap guys late in free agency. And Ogunjobi's been very up and down as a player. And that's why the Bengals chose B.J. Hill over him. They actually, you know, B.J. Hill ended up replacing him when Ogunjobi got hurt, played outstanding in their playoff run. They end up giving Hill the big contract. But Ogunjobi flashes and has made a ton of big plays in his career. And I just feel like Mike Tomlin will get the best out of him. This now leaves, Dan, 14 players still left on the top 101. That has never been the case this deep into the offseason. I'm just going to list them for you. Why not? Odell Beckham, Dwayne Brown, still out there, the tackle. 37 years old, but played pretty well last year. Trey Flowers, former Patriot Lion. J.C. Treader, not sure why he's still available. Will Fuller. Eric Fisher, Julio Jones, Anthony Barr, Justin Houston, Sheldon Richardson, Ndamukong Suh, Kevin King, Dont'a Hightower, and Riley Reiff. I mean, those are some guys who can play for you, I think, for the most part.
Some good ball players there. Some good ball players. Go get them, including, I believe you mentioned, Will Fuller.
Yes.
Still out there. I know everybody's kicking the tires, looking to get better. Put that man with a good quarterback, he will make you better.
You have a little bit of a Will Fuller fetish, and it's been going on for years.
He's replaced Lamar Miller as like the random former Houston Texan named Miller that you love.
That's it. You guys cracked it.
Oh, wait, he's not named Miller. He's Fuller. Now my brain is just broken.
It's close.
It's late June.
Urs from the Texans tree is my fetish.
Ah!
All right. All right, got some sad news. Ravens outside linebacker Jalen Ferguson has died at the age of 26. Actually, I have two items of really sad news around the Baltimore Ravens. So Jalen Ferguson passes away at the age of 26. The team announced Wednesday. Ravens coach John Harbaugh said that Jalen was a good-hearted, gentle person who loved his family and his team. He was a joy to talk with and be around every day. Baltimore police said officers responded to a home in the northern district of the city where they found Ferguson unresponsive and being treated by medics. He never regained consciousness and was pronounced dead on the scene by medics. This is a man with three very young children, a former third-round pick by the Ravens in 2009, who had been fully involved in all of the team's offensive offseason practices this year. So he was going in a great direction in his career, so young with the family, and we lose Jalen Ferguson at the age of 26. Also, we lose Tony Siragusa, the Goose, one of the more notable, well-known NFL figures of the early 2000s and late 90s. Defensive tackle with a huge personality, died Wednesday at the age of 55. Cause of his death was not immediately available, but he was a key cog in the middle of the Ravens defense in 2000, one of the best, if not the best defense ever. 12-year career with the Colts and then Ravens. And I like this tweet from Jim Irsay. The Goose squeezed 200 fun-loving years into 55. He was one of the most physically strongest players I've ever seen in 50 years. In Greece, they would ask one question at the end of one's life. This is only Jim Irsay would tweet this. Did he have passion? In Tony's case, yes, he did. So we lose Siragusa and Jalen Ferguson in one day. Very sad.
Well, with Siragusa, I'll just say one thing about him. You know, he was an on-air presence on Fox for years too, and I wasn't always thrilled with what he did on that vehicle. But his teammates, to a man, absolutely loved this guy, and I think he was one of the better practical jokers of this century in the league, because there were stories where, like on the first Hard Knocks, when, you know, Shannon Sharpe was in that tight end room with the rest of that crew, he locked them in their meeting room and put a table up against the door, and they couldn't find their way out. And like, it was just this, that was just sort of what do we do all that. There's another time when a bunch of young players, this is a weird story, they had made a giant pot of cocoa in the locker room, and Siragusa snuck in like a large amount of laxative. And so they went out to practice in the cold after this cocoa, and one player after the next was running back into the facility to do, to, you know, respond to what a laxative would do. And the last thing I'll mention is that he, when they went to the Super Bowl in that year 2000, they knocked out the Raiders in the playoffs. And it was his hit on Rich Gannon that totally turned Oakland upside down. And his quote, Siragusa said, "I saw Rich's eyes roll back. He got every pound of my fat ass on him." So I just found him to be one of the more enjoyable characters of that era.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to be one of the better undrafted free agents of the 90s, period. You're an undrafted guy, and you end up starting in the league for 12 years, start 148 games, win a ring with the Ravens. You mentioned be part of that broadcast team, Kenny, Moose, and Goose. That trio, it's always like in my brain. It was Kenny Albert, Moose, and Goose. They were either the number two team or the number three team. And he sort of did this thing. Not many people have replaced it where he was on the sideline, but he was part of the broadcast the whole time and just saying goofy stuff. And I'm with you on the Hard Knocks memories. Like, I don't remember him that much as a player. Ozzie Newsome brought up that he's one of the best run stoppers in Ravens history. And actually that sort of role has continued throughout Ravens history under Ozzie Newsome. They're always sort of looking for the next Tony Siragusa, a big time run stopper in the middle. Now it's Brandon Williams. It's like Haloti Ngata, different guys like that. But that Hard Knocks to me was, maybe I'm not remembering well, but I just feel like that was the best one because they sort of didn't realize what it was. And it was big time players being totally loose. They got away with a lot. They allowed everything. And if you're a big enough dork that you would want to go back and watch a Hard Knocks, that would be like my number one recommendation, because it's just like a different NFL. And Siragusa was maybe the star of it, the number one person.
Oh, he was. I mean, it was, I think Brian Billick thought he was the star because I've never seen a man carry himself with more rational confidence as the head coach of that team after the 2000 Super Bowl season. I just remember him laying in a hammock at one point with like a Bahama, you know, Panama Jack hat on, just like, I am the king of the world. But Siragusa, that wasn't even his best HBO vehicle, Greggy. He also had a 4-episode run on The Sopranos late in that series where he played an enforcer named Frankie Cortez. So, you know, he had it all.
Remember that.
He had all sorts of different angles. And he also, yeah, the, what did you call it? The Moose, Goose, and Loose? What was it again?
It was Kenny, Moose, and Goose. That team was a team for a while.
I feel like we used to, or at least I used to have some fun at the expense of Goose with his role on the on those telecasts. So we'd like cut to Goose, and then he'd be, the way I always remember it, he'd either like be behind the field goal post or like halfway up the tunnel. Yeah. And they'd just throw it to Goose, and he'd say something Goose-esque, and then it would come back to the telecast. But yes, definitely a memorable figure.
I feel like Wes had strong opinions on Kenny, Moose, and Goose. If you went back to like our 2014-13, it's like we have been doing this a long time.
I mean, they were that I understand they have a nice nickname, but they were critiqued at times. And he was part of it. He wasn't everyone's cup of tea on air, but that, you know, that's fine.
And one more note on Jalen Ferguson. Great nickname in college, Sack Daddy. Awesome. He holds the FBS record for career sacks with 45.
And wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. I mean, that you know, that is potential.
Sad. And he was going to have, you know, when I did the projected starters, not that the football side of it is that important, but, you know, he had an opportunity because of injuries and just how their roster is. He was probably penciled in to start this year. They've been good at kind of developing that position, and this was his time to step up. And just it's tragic. I think everyone there, his teammates and everyone, were just stunned. It was out of nowhere.
All right. And finally in the news, Arch Manning, the next Manning. There was the father. Was he at Tulane? Was he a Tulane guy? The father?
No, Archie. Archie was at Ole Miss, and then with the
Saints, of course.
And great
that's
Saints
why
player.
They wound up in, you know, in that
still one then, of the great Saints of all time. There haven't been that many that have topped him.
And then there was Peyton, one of the greatest to ever strap it up. Multiple MVPs, a couple Super Bowl wins. And then Eli, who had a couple Super Bowl wins of his own at Greg Rosenthal's expense directly. And one of the great G-men ever. And now here comes Arch, son of Cooper. Cooper, who is another brother from the Manning family that people thought had a chance to be a truly great pro, but I believe it was a neck injury that kept Cooper from following his NFL dreams. But here is a son who is a absolute blue-chip quarterback. He ends up committing to Texas over other suitors that included Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, and Virginia. Now, we are not your source for college football insight, but Justin Graver is a native Texan. As I sit in Texas right now, like I said at the top of the show, they love their college football, and I could picture a young Graver just rolling through co-eds and then just attending all those Saturday games. He's doing the hook 'em horns thing or whatever that is. There it is. And then now you have this dude. Are you pumped up, Graver?
Yeah, pretty pumped up. I think Texas is finally back, right? We can say it with confidence. Every
single
season.
We gotta
win
some games first, right? And they're moving to the SEC. You would think with him, if he lives up to his billing, I don't know anything about prospects, but he's been like the number one prospect hype wise for years.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because his name is Manning, but he's like the clear number one quarterback on that level of like Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck type of guy. So if he works out.
And Graver, you just, you know, when you went to school, I asked you before the show, you just missed the magical run of Colt McCoy at Texas, probably the last really relevant era for them in some respect. Will this pull you back? Will you be going? Do you think that you'll go back and watch games? And do you think that Manning has a chance to outshine Colt McCoy in this setting?
I think he does because his name is Manning, but he's got to win games, like Greg said. So. I've been pretty like into Texas football. They have a really fun way of making you strong believers in September and then completely crumbling down the stretch. So every year is like a
So they're the Cowboys.
Basically.
A little bit. Texas, I mean, they've fallen off the map. But now, you know, they're entering the SEC. They're getting ready. Shout out to Isidore Newman, where Arch goes to school. A couple of my good friends from college went there. A football juggernaut, despite being some small, like, school, and they somehow get all the Mannings. I don't know how that works.
That's a great point, Greg.
Ding. Dan, what is going on in the streets in Tech? You're in Texas. It's happening right around you. What's the physical human response to this news that just broke hours ago? You're right there.
There's nothing going on. I'm actually fairly close to Austin, but again, Texas is very spread out. You know, it's very different than where the three of us currently live, which is a very highly concentrated region of the country. So I haven't seen another human today.
Putters and gutters is like where everyone is hanging out, and that's it.
There was like seven people at Putters and Gutters, and that's it. But anyway, good luck to
the
latest
Manning. Did you see that picture, by the way, of all the Mannings hanging out, I believe in New Orleans, but maybe not. Maybe they were in Texas, and they all had identical-looking polos and wrinkled shorts. And I showed that picture to my son to see if he recognized anyone in the picture. And he did recognize Peyton Manning and mentioned how much he dislikes Eli Manning as a Patriots fan. I like that guy, Eli.
You know,
so
there's a Manning,
cuts deep there, Dan.
You know, there's a Manning nephew or, you know, son that wears Slayer shirt and has a mohawk and, you know, ripped up jeans and a chain and smokes cigarettes that they just keep hidden.
Yeah, probably like up in the attic somewhere, like chained to a bed.
Like, you know, the Kennedy story, the poor Kennedy woman that they kind of kept out of view.
Yeah.
A similar situation.
They put a drill into her head, by the way. So
I know it's a very sad story. I was kind of dancing around that aspect of it, but more that she was kept out of the public eye for the balance of her life.
Right. Lobotomized. Taken out of the rotation.
Could this guy be lobotomized? I don't know. If he exists, he might be in danger. Certainly he'd be in danger of being forced to wear khaki shorts.
Right. Well, it's similar to how Mark's child that popped up a few years ago, right? Remember the missing child? I mean, I guess she's not missing anymore, but we didn't know about
no,
her.
No, it's my daughter. We've Dan met her. She's a very nice young woman.
What's her deal?
She's 24 years old. Lives in not too far from here, per reports.
And that was News and Notes presented by Upwork, the world's work marketplace. Learn more at upwork.com. All right, let's take a break, and we'll get to some deep internal thoughts that would never be shared with the public from your favorite NFL stars.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we're back. It's time. It's time to dig in. To let the people know what's really going on behind the eyes of some of the most notable NFL figures. And I would say this, and I think this needs to be a bit of a promise, that we won't use anything that we broadcast today against these individuals, because we are, in a sense, you could say it's an invasion of their privacy at a biblical level, what we're doing here. So that goes for everyone listening. Any shadowy league figures, including that one gentleman on the third floor, and anyone else. I think that's fair. Ground rule set.
I think that's just because we're wielding a certain amount of power here, and it's going to take us and the listeners a lot of restraint to not even think about that. You know, when you hear something very disturbing about someone, and every time you see them, that's all you can think about. We've got to refrain from that being the case with these right. NFL figures.
Well, right. Plus 2022, like people are concerned about privacy data. And we're getting literally inside their brains.
Absolutely.
That's some privacy data you normally want to protect and they can't.
All right. So let's get inside a brain. Greg, do you want to get us going today?
Sure. Let's get inside the mind of Pete Carroll. People ask me all the time, like, how long is this going to take? Yeah, are you going to throw the ball forward? I don't know that. I don't really care about that. What do I do know is that things are going to go the right way. People want to say, oh, Gino or Drew. How about asking this question? Rashad or Ken? That's Rashad Penny or Ken Walker. Here's what Gino can do. He can turn around. hold the ball to his left, and then one of those running backs can run to the left or to the right. It's up to them. They actually can also run to the middle. One of the things we've been thinking about, they can actually start running to the left, and then they can change directions and then run to the right. There's all sorts of options. I'm just so jacked and pumped to get after it. I'm so happy Russell Wilson's gone. Oh, wait, was that out loud?
Was that what? Allowed?
Out loud.
I like the Pete Carroll cadence. I thought you really got Pete Carroll down there to some degree.
Right. You can almost hear the wintergreen gum chomping between the back molars. It's funny, yeah, that Pete, you know, still always positive, always completely confident that the most optimistic scenario plays out. That's just Pete Carroll.
I mean, that he's not concerned. I mean, now that we know, I mean, he didn't want to even let it out from his own internal thoughts there at the end, but he's just so excited. He's so excited to be turning the page from this domineering personality that was running his franchise when he has so many different offensive options that he laid out that Drew Locke Geno can do very well.
Well, it's funny, Greg, that you were able to drill into the mind of Pete Carroll, because I have drilled right into the mind of that quarterback that you mentioned.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Geno Smith.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you said that, Russell.
This is it. This is my moment. My stage. And no one's going to take it from me. Last time I was in training camp with a starting job in my back pocket, some jabroni teammate broke my jaw because I skipped out on a high school football camp without notice and refused to reimburse the cost of airfare my teammate had fronted me in good faith. What a jerk. That guy was totally and 100% in the wrong. But I'm always right. I'm Geno Smith. Coach Carroll traded for Drew Locke. That's funny as hell. Pete knows that dude can't hold my giant jockstrap. Let's strap Drew in the Geno coaster this summer, then watch him plummet to a horrifying death. Yeah, that's right. I'm straight up murdering the competition this summer. Baker Mayfield coming to town? Please. The only thing that dude could beat me in is commercial revenue and a lack of troubling DUI arrests. And that's only 1-0. Plenty of ball game there. Mental checklist time, baby. Win a starting job. Check. Win MVP. Check. Win Super Bowl. Check. Find proof Earth is flat. Sideways check. Oh, yeah. This is going to be a great year.
Still chasing that flat earth concept. I like that. He doesn't give up.
Well, he doesn't.
Impressed. Because I would have thought I would have been the one who could get inside the mind, but you really did it.
He backed off that flat earth stuff publicly, but you know he thinks about it all the time.
Right. And, you know, and Pete Carroll has some theories of his own. So the two of them kind of go hand in hand.
Interesting. It's going to be an interesting season in Seattle based on what we just heard.
Well, I hope the murdering was metaphorical, you know, on the field. Because otherwise it'd be a little troubling.
But again, we can't use any of this against him.
No,
yeah, that's true.
No,
that's a good point.
But if anybody wants to, you know, shoot Drew Locke a DM that might have the ability to, maybe just a heads up. Watch your back.
I don't think we're supposed to tell Drew Locke based on the ground rules.
Yeah,
of this.
I think we need
he's
going to
just have to be surprised by it.
Trust tree here.
Oh, that's true. All right, you're up, Mark.
And all right, that was another edition of Sipping on Vino, Checking on Gino.
I assume you have someone from the Seattle Seahawks.
I do not.
Next.
I'm taking us to Tampa, where we're going to get inside the head of Bruce Arians. And sometimes it bugs me Tom retires, then Tom unretires, then I retire, kind of. Let's be real, baby. I was bumped upstairs. Classic lever pull on the old guy. So now Tom and Leftwich huddle as a twosome to design the weekly game plan without me. Classy move by Lefty after I went to bat for him 10,000 times. Sometimes I tell myself, trust nobody. Bright side, I'm still making a fat paycheck. Still get to eat in the team cafeteria, which, by the way, has hugely improved since they replaced that last chef, super dull Jessica Yardley, with this new guy, El Gucci. El Gucci has done incredible things to the menu. Wonderful pork tenderloin yesterday for lunch. Every morning, waffles dipped in butter and foreign syrups. There was a fish fry last Friday, which I was first in line for. El Gucci has his own way of crisping French fries and then serving them with multiple dipping sauces, ranch, chipotle, sweet chili, honey barbecue, Dijon. The other day, Battleship Fournette came up to me in the cafeteria, and there I was, huddled over a massive second lunch, two dense tri-tip sandwiches, a big bowl of spaghetti under meat sauce, a green salad with honey-dipped croutons, and a massive tumbler of whiskey. What you been working on these days? Fournette asked me. Nothing, baby, I said. Nothing at all.
Wow.
That checks out.
feels on point. It feels like I have some concern level for Bruce's health, you know, because he's been, you see him puttering around in that golf cart when he was coaching last year. So I don't know if there's like a lot of exercise. And I definitely, it seems like El Gucci, great food, but dangerous that he's eating almost too much.
It's a problematic path, potentially.
Yeah. Bruce is, he loves life and he's not a guy that's always as careful as he needs to be. So hopefully he's mixing in some salads at the commissary. I would love to see, honestly. So since the announcement came that he was moving upstairs, what was that, in February or January? February. If you gave him a piece of loose leaf paper and a pen and said, please, if you could, Bruce, list everything you've accomplished work-wise since you've moved into this front office role, I would love to see it. And he can't bullshit. He needs to actually list tangible work that he's done. He's probably made $500,000 in salaries.
Right. I don't know if he has a boss, but I think it'd be good if he doesn't.
I mean, I feel like I am, you know, we're still working hard and I want to do the best job we can, but I have slight Arians tendencies here because our huddle has really gone up a notch since we moved into Inglewood.
Several.
And it's notches. Free. So much like for Arians. And I schedule my time at work around service. I actually had to run in yesterday to just get the microphone to bring to Japan, you know. Mm-hmm. And I showed up specifically to get the end of breakfast and waited around for the beginning of lunch
before that 11 a.m. cutoff.
Right, 10:30. So you have to get there before 10:30, hang out, do a couple, you know, talk around, and then get that lunch. And hey, sometimes then we'll tape a podcast if it was a day we do that. Come back for kind of lunch two, which is like a soup or a little
snack. I love lunch part two.
Yeah.
They've got pizza slices free all the time. There was a initially when we moved into the building, they said, you know, it's going to be free for, I think, September, just so that people who, you know, the anxiety of returning to work, like, let's kind of grease the skids, give you some nice food. And the pricing, the cost never came. It just has remained free, which is sort of an anti-corporate move there. Typically, they're like taking water coolers away and stuff like that, not here.
And during our contract negotiations, and, you know, you have different options and you're weighing what you want to do next. With the podcast and in our careers. And, you know, we ultimately, you know, when I was asked, you know, what made the difference? And I said, oh, yeah, you know, great people work here. It's great. You know, the studio's great. We've had such a great run here at NFL. We think we could keep it up going forward. But really, if you wanted to get into my internal monologue, it was like, oh, the free food at the much improved commissary.
Yeah, like it starts there and ends there.
It was at least 20% of my thinking. In terms of making a final decision. And that's an internal monologue. Greg, you got another one?
I do. All right, let's do it. This is Inside the Mind of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I really think for me, it's
kind of funny how this off-season being portrayed in the media. We're all going to miss Devante. I love Devante. You saw the photos on Instagram. That's proof, right? That's real.
Sends himself.
But, I don't know if people really saw the results of the MVP award voting the last 2 years. One name I didn't see at the top, Devante Adams. Didn't see him get a vote. But I think kind of people maybe should go see those results. The MVP award the last 2 years. There is one name that's there. It's pretty consistent. It's like I told Goody last year. I think I've been pretty incredible. And based on my years, yeah, I think it'd be nice if everyone out there just recognized.
Now, if there's one thing I know to be true, it's that inside Aaron Rodgers' brain, there's a lot of self-congratulations going on.
So vindictive.
I mean, he
was it vindictive?
He needs to look for someone to push back against, and he sees what's out there, and this is the closest thing. Oh, people aren't ranking the Packers in their top five offenses, or people so worried. Oh, the Packers are going to be really missing Devante Adams. The Packers are about one man and one man only.
This will be a good test. They haven't quite stacked that roster in his favor. There are some other quarterbacks that have gotten better support this offseason, in my opinion, and one of them is a guy that's about to enter his second year up there in New England.
Mm.
Well, summer break is here. I'm back home in Jacksonville. Duval! And it feels good. Drinking Natty Lights, blasting my favorite band Creed, taking the pontoon boat out on the lake with Becky, Jughead, and all my other friends. We deserve this. I deserve this. I've worked hard on my body and game all offseason so guys like Craig Rosenbloom can make snarky comments at my... He won't be able to make snarky comments at my expense this year. But hanging out with babes and bros doesn't stop my mind from wandering. And at night, I forget it. I can't sleep. I can hardly breathe. It's all I can think about. Who is my offensive coordinator? Is it Mr. QB Sneak on 39, Joe Judge? That can't be. Is it Patricia? Matt Patricia? That guy locked his keys in his car at minicamp. Twice. I know enough by now that it's not appropriate to ask questions or have creative thoughts with my team, but every other quarterback knows who their coach is. Why can't I? It's almost like, hey, stop. What? Coach Belichick? Is that you? How could you be in my head? It's impossible. You will do as you're told and take orders from superiors without question. But do you understand? Do you understand? Grumble, grumble. Yes, sir. Okay. No more Creed on the pontoon. Only Bon Jovi. Yes, coach. My life is a nightmare.
Wow.
Hey, it's not easy up there in the Patriot way.
I mean, it's Belichick's next frontier. We think we can get inside the mind. He is inside the mind of 90 different men. All
he's
at the same
literally
time,
inside their minds, though.
Monitoring their conversation.
He waited a long time to penetrate the mind of Mac Jones till this pivotal moment where there was doubt.
It's a big finish. It's a big finish.
I think that's one of his skills. It was top, yeah. His greatest skills in the legendary coaching run is that ability to mind meld.
It's funny because when I hear like Mac Jones's voice inside of his head, for some reason, it's like more like, well, I hope the guys are really going to catch the balls this year. That's I don't know why that's I really got to have fun playing the football with the guys.
It sounds like
I didn't
goofy,
know he was from please. Jacksonville. That kind of opened up a whole other world for me.
Yeah, I thought you were going.
Like that's a vibe.
I didn't either. I thought you were going Trevor either, Lawrence frankly. For a second there, but then
why does that open up? Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. He seems like a sort of Southern bro, which is what Jacksonville, I imagine to be.
It's Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to anybody bro. Listening from Duval, but I thought he was like a good old boy from, I guess, from Alabama or the surrounding area up there. I don't know. Anyway,
life is rich.
That North Florida, you know, it's very Southern.
Florabama, is that what they call it?
Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've had a few wild nights at Florabama.
Again, how come we didn't get any of these Rosenthal wild nights? You speak about them with such frequency.
Did any of them happen post 9/11, Greg?
Wait, 9/11? No. No, I had some wild nights in my life, but I was out of college, and there might have been a few trips back there for weddings and whatnot, but not at Florabama. I mean,
are you trying to implicate Greg and
no, I'm just saying that most of Greg's wild tales happened from an era before even 9/11. It seems.
All right, I just wanted to make sure you weren't registering.
Okay, it was an important sort of Greg and moment in the country Greg. That was Carol like a before and after. I see where you're going, but I was out here in Los Angeles at the time, plus, working at Hallway Pictures, which produced Johnson's Family Vacation, starring Cedric the Entertainer.
You also have to factor
as an office assistant
in terms of the time space continuum there, Mark. That. If our theory holds true that Greg was born age 32 standing up, does he even know what 9/11 is? Is he just playing along right now?
Well, that's a rich mystery. I'm not. I. That's
well,
a fair
what?
Question.
And all these Tulane stories are just part of some amazing backstory that I pre-wrote.
Yes.
All right. That's giving me a lot of credit.
All right, Mark, finish it.
Well,
up.
This is strange because we must be linked in this exercise to some degree when we're using these powers, because I also have a New England Patriot. Who is going to be very important to Mac Jones, and that is first round pick Cole Strange. And when I was penetrating the mind of Cole Strange,
poor Cole.
I kind of spent a lot of time in there trying to figure out, because he was doing something weird. All of his internal monologues are done in Dear Diary format. That's how he thinks. I don't know if that appeals to Bill Belichick, and that's why they maybe overdrafted him. But this is here. We'll go. Here we go.
Yeah, interesting.
Nice setup.
Dear Diary, I heard the chuckles when I was drafted. Of course I did. Who's this guy, and why is he going 29th overall? The little blogger boys won't be giggling so hard when I grind a Dolphins interior lineman into dust 4 minutes into week one. Those little keyboardists won't know what to say when I make All-Pro after 17 pristine starts without allowing a single sack of Mac Daddy Jones. My physical body glows like a diamond. This morning, I climbed the mountain located at the edge of my apartment complex, upward and through the hilly regions to where few trees remained. There I encountered a billy goat. It stood frozen, its eyes piercing into mine. Through some hidden power of nature, the goat spoke to me telepathically. Something many humans do not understand, said the beast, its eyes now blazing red, is that your experience here is simply a vision, a dream of sorts, but not in the way that you think of dreams. Is football real, I asked? Not especially, said the goat. Are you real, I asked? Can I answer your question with a question, said the animal? Okay. Would you believe me if I said I was your ninth grade girlfriend, Nikki Exxon, in the form of a mountain goat? But Nikki Exxon married Chris Traeger. No, that's a false illusion. I am Nikki Exxon, and I am still in love with you and think about you every day, Cole. I have to go now, I said. I have to lift weights at the facility. Then I walked down the mountain and got into my truck and drove to Patriot Place, where strength and conditioning coach Ted Frumpy spotted me on the dumbbell.
Wow.
I love that both you and Cole are fans of the phrase "my physical body," and I feel like this is almost a dream for you too, Mark, that you would run into a high school or middle school ex-girlfriend in the form of a goat. Like you would love that.
I felt more connected to Cole
Strange. Banks of Lake Happiness.
Yeah, I think I mined the minds of many NFL players to do this exercise, and his stood out to me. I feel a connected kind of brotherhood to him.
Knowing what we know, what we learned minutes earlier, I would be concerned if I'm Cole that Nikki Exxon could potentially be in great danger, as seen as a distraction and one that needed to be muzzled or, I guess, industrialized if goats are being processed.
Industrialized.
People eat some goats. Some
You're
goats
saying
do.
Belichick or that, or
right. Well, or that Nikki Exxon potentially is Bill Belichick, and she's not. It's not really Nikki.
Well, that's another level.
So now is he turning into the clown from It, where he has the ability to take on different forms in a psychological and physical menace?
I mean, it's a heavy thing to be Belichick and inside all these minds, because he has been opened up to many of the darkest secrets of the known universe. And I hope he can keep his focus as coach, knowing what he now knows about Nikki and the goat and everything, all the implications that it has.
Bill Belichick is Pennywise. It actually checks out. All right. There you go. Again, anything you heard here, I know you can't eliminate it entirely from your mind's eye, but just try to understand that these were private thoughts.
Yeah.
And to respect them in that sense. Thank you to everybody.
Yeah. Great, right? I think, we've done this in the dead of the off season a few times. I feel like we need to bring this back on a Tuesday or a different show during the season. I think getting inside their minds during the season, I think, would be a fun
it's
exercise.
Good. It's a good call.
Well.
GC. All right, that's it for another week of shows here in the off season. Greg, you will now head off to Japan. Good luck.
Got a big championship game in the YMCA Bronze League coming up on Saturday first.
So your coach, you sent a text. Your coach, the coach of your son's team, quit like on short notice, and you've been thrust into the role of head coach at the most critical juncture of the season.
In hindsight, he sort of groomed me. He needed extra help and was a little inconsistent with his attendance and had various reasons for it throughout the season. And then he just was gone. And I've had to take over. And I don't know how to run a basketball practice.
So you're like the Paul Westhead if you watched Winning Time on HBO.
I feel like more like the Dave McGinnis or... I guess Dan Campbell with the Dolphins would be one I would rather be, or Joe Vitt, but I'm struggling, and we're in the championship game against a team that is 9-1 and whose coach takes it so seriously. It makes me,
That's
upset.
The best.
Greg,
if you could beat the team with the coach that takes kids sports way too seriously, it's so much more rewarding.
But we're 5-5. We're heavy underdogs in this one, but
I don't want to take the other gentlemen to task, but what kind of person quits the team as coach just before the championship game? Why not? Can you not maybe cap it off with one more contest?
Monster. He left me in a tough spot a couple weeks ago. Probably didn't think we were going to the championship. We've had a nice little late season
get back to 500. You've orchestrated this playoff run.
I'm 2-1 as interim.
I think that's
the games that take care of themselves. The practices are some of the longest hours of my life. I just feel like I don't know what to do.
Are you playing big, or what's your rotation going to be?
Well, they're 6 years old. You try to give everyone some playing time, but I know the way this guy works. He's not taking his best players out. So I'm definitely doing like a box in one, putting our best defensive player on their one superstar. And just that's my main innovation, hoping for the best.
Has Walker seen an uptick in playing time since you took over?
No, I almost overcorrect and
try to do it.
But he's solid. Like he would be in the middle. He wouldn't be playing the whole game anyways. Like we do have a couple stars.
When you announced this, Graver had some very good ideas for practices and stuff. Would you ever consider bringing him on as an assistant coach
I would love to. I wish you had sent me those suggestions and I could have had you come to the Santa Monica Y on Thursday for the last practice or Wednesday. And but I could have used your help because I looked at that clock and I was like, wait, we got 20 more minutes. What am I going to do now?
What did you suggest, Graver?
Oh, I suggested layup lines, three-man weave, a nice scrimmage. Scrimmage always eats up a
scrimmage
big
is good, but they're, yeah, they're
scrimmage
young,
is the scrimmage. Standby in yeah. coaching youth
yeah.
teams. You got 25 minutes left? scrimmage.
How about like a game of game
like,
of horse?
Kids don't know any better. What are the kids? The kids
could play a game of horse with like fine. You know it's like fine. A ice cream sundaes as a surprise. That would take 30 minutes.
Right.
It just sounds like you're living kicking and screaming, but with basketball instead of soccer, which is
exactly.
a great will.
Just know the kids think you know everything. It's the parents that you have to win over because they're watching and they're watching closely.
Yeah, I feel like I'm letting, like the ones who are genuinely talented, I feel like I'm letting them, their kids down, that they're not really getting any learning.
Greg, you've tugged them to
the kids will follow you into hell.
You've taken them to the championship game. I don't understand the like self, if, you know. If anything, you can turn to the parents and say, "Eat it." They should applaud what you've done. Well, what one of them could have stepped in.
They
the
all
coach.
Seem supportive. They're all nice. Oh. They're
just
all,
think about this supportive. Too, Mark. Think about the big. The I'm assuming Greg, the coach, is a bigger man. He gets angry at something happens in the game. He says something to Greg. You know, Greg has a way of saying things back to people.
Oh, I won't be shy. I won't be shy talking to this.
And
guy.
Just imagine what would happen. If Greg hits him with a little Greg bomb,
and oh! If he keeps complaining to the officials and stuff like that, I'm gonna say something.
I think I need to go to this game and see how this.
I think this might call for another peacemaker summit.
No,
get the coach.
I know this guy. I haven't said a word in our matchups, but it's on everyone's radar. Believe me, it's on my.
There's
radar.
Always that guy. I know exactly without ever having seen or know the man. I know exactly. The type. Anyway, all right, that's it. Good luck to you in the championship.
Thank you. Thank
when
you.
Is it?
Saturday morning.
All right. Good luck in the championship and trip to Japan. And Mark will be you and I with Kayvon Thibodeau on Monday. We got to figure out how we're going to move that relationship forward closer to friendship status.
Well, I have full confidence that we do. Each time we meet with him, you know, the friendship becomes more intense. And so I think that is the direction.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you to everybody for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun. Be safe. Head to Putters and Gutters if you're in the Marble Falls area. And even if you don't, just remember one thing. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.